yourself and be broken in pieces. Assemble yourself from the east, north, south, and west and be broken in pieces. Take your counsels in the regions of the sea and it shall come to naught. Yes. Speak your word and it shall not stand, for God is with us. This morning, under the unction and the auspices of the Holy Ghost, I'm commanded to speak and to declare a prophetic word. And this is the word of the Lord. If you receive it, it shall manifest in your life. I declare that this is the season of supernatural provision. You didn't get it. I said, this is the season of supernatural provision. And it begins from right now. Supernatural provision is on the way to your house. Let your provision be delivered into your hands. And if you believe it, say yes. You may be seated for 2 minutes. I'm going to begin this new series, and on Wednesday, God willing, we'll look at the part two of this series. I want you to appreciate and understand, ladies and gentlemen, when the Bible says, as your days, so shall your strength be, it means what he says. God means what he says, and he says what he means. God is not playing. God doesn't play with our feelings or our intelligence. He means what he says. And whatever it is that you need to fulfill God's purpose and assignment and mission and will for your life in your lifetime, that provision was made available in eternity long before time began. And before you became a clot of blood in your mother's womb, whatever you will need in this life to fulfill God's will for your life was provided before you were born. And I'm going to say some very, very strong things here. You see, most times when we lack some things and we struggle over things and we don't have the things we desire of God, it's only because we are not in alignment. But if you are in alignment with the will of God for your life, I guarantee you that whatever is required to help enable you fulfill God's plan, God's purpose and his will for your life, that provision is available. Whether it's a husband, a wife, whether it's money, whether it's houses, whatever it is, it's available. Anything. As your days, so shall your strength be. You know what it means? It has to do with the dispensation you find yourself in. Whether the dispensation of Old Testament or the dispensation of New Testament. Whatever the dispensation is, God said, I have made provision because I declared the end from the beginning. I am Alpha. I am Omega. I understand all things. I know all things. The economics of the nations of the world, before they collapse, I knew it. Everything that will ever happen in your lifetime, I knew it in eternity before life began. Nothing takes me by surprise. Nothing takes me unawares. I know all things. I declare the end from the beginning. And I have made provision for you. It doesn't matter the dispensation and the time you find yourself in. I have made provision for you to fulfill my mandate, my will, my assignment, my purpose, my agenda for your life. And as long as it's about my glory, as long as it's about my will and it's about my agenda and my purpose, whatever is required is available. The reason for the struggle is that most of the time, the things we want to do and accomplish in life has nothing to do with the will of God. It has to be with us. It has to be with self. It has to do with our own glory and our ego. And God is not under obligation to provide or to finance that which is outside of his will for you and I. God is not under obligation to protect you and I outside of the will of God. That's what the Bible says. He that breaks the hedge, a snake will bite him. As long as you are in alignment with his will. The Bible says, therefore, we know that all things work together for the good of them that love God and are called according to his purpose and not their purpose. As long as it's about his purpose, heaven is under obligation. Ladies and gentlemen, please believe me. I've been preaching for 40 years. 40 years. and he has not failed me yet. He hasn't failed me yet. And you know what? The reason why I'm using the word he hasn't failed me yet, I'm waiting to see the day that he's going to fail. God cannot fail. God does not fail. Are you hearing me, somebody? And whatever the need is to fulfill his purpose in your life, not your purpose. You know what the problem is? Most time is about us. It's what I want to do. And he's not an obligation to finance and to provide for you as long as it's about you. But if it is about his purpose and his work and his glory, then he's under obligation to make a way. And it doesn't matter if you live in the deserts of Sinai, if you live in the wilderness of the Middle East, that God is a way maker. He's under obligation to make a way in the wilderness and to make and create real in the desert. If you believe it, put your hands together, somebody, and give God praise. May I submit to you, ladies and gentlemen, that the only reason why you and I may have need of things that hasn't yet happened is because most times we are pursuing a path in life that is not the path that was predetermined or destined for you and I. He said his ways are not our ways and his thoughts are not our thoughts. If we would think God's thoughts, walk in his ways and in his path, then God under obligation. He said, I kill it and I make it alive. I'm telling you, I have seen God kill. I won't give you details. I've seen God kill people who were a distraction to others who were fulfilling his will for their lives. I've seen God kill people who were literally an obstacle to others who were in alignment with his will. All you need to do between now and the end of this year is that I am determined to bring myself into alignment with God's original intent and agenda for which I was born. And I guarantee you that God will go to every extent to make sure that you succeed, that you make it to fulfill his purpose and not your purpose. If you receive that, put your hands together and give him praise and say, I receive it. God never intended that you and I should struggle and should hustle. There's no language like hustling and struggling in God. And there is nothing like lack and want in God. There's nothing like lack. There's nothing like lack and want in God. In God is satisfaction. In God, the Bible said, now God, not tomorrow, not in the ages past, but now or the ages to come. But God, now, God is able now to do exceedingly, abundantly far above that which you can ever dream, imagine, or visualize. God is able to do when? Now. And then the Bible said, now God is able to make all grace abound towards you and I, that we always, not every now and then, but that we always having all sufficiency, not some, but all sufficiency, not in some things, but in all things, that we may abound to every good work. So what is the reason for all sufficiency, that we abound to every good work? Not to buy a new car, not to build houses for us and our immediate family. All that is good and is great. God wants us to have goodly houses. He wants us to have the best, drive the best, live in the best. It's nothing wrong, but that should not be the reason and the purpose for which we want the best. It has to be something bigger than just us. It has to be about his glory. It has to be about his business. It has to be about his agenda. It has to be about the benefit and the profit of humanity. As long as it's about you and I, God is not under obligation to provide. It's not. And you know, As soon as you can get hold of that revelation and mentality, life will be different. You enter into rest. And your warfare will not be about things anymore. For we wrestle not against provision or for provision, but we wrestle against flesh and blood. It will no more be about my need and what I want. God is under obligation to send a man. And I'm telling you, somebody, I want you all the sisters to hear me and hear me out well. You see, God can move a Vashti, who is a queen, out of the place and bring an Esther, an orphan, from nowhere and make her a queen. Hear me. When Esther became a queen, his uncle Mordecai came and reminded Esther and said, "Girl, let me remind you and tell you something. From the 144 or 5 provinces of the kingdom of Ahasuerus, we had over 144 virgins that showed themselves to King Ahasuerus, and you among all was chosen, not because of your beauty, not because of the fact that you had the skill." I was watching a young lady on CNN last night. She's an African, I think she's a Ghanaian, and she spoke very, very well. I was very impressed with her. But Esther was not chosen because she behaved herself well, or she knew how to speak, or she was very impressive, or can articulate her thoughts effectively. No. She was chosen because God favored her for a purpose better and greater. And it wasn't about her being the queen and the wife of Ahasuerus. And it wasn't about sex. It wasn't about romance. And so the uncle Mordecai came and said, "Girl, let me remind you, just in case if you are getting it wrong, that you are not where you are. You are not queen. You are not in this position because you are beautiful, because of your charm, or because you know some skills in the bedroom or in the bed, different from the other women who were rejected. You are only chosen because there is an assignment. There is an imminent danger ahead of the entire Jewish race. And you have been chosen by Elohim to be a tool, a weapon, and an instrument in the hands of Almighty God to bring deliverance to his people. As long as you acknowledge that, God will back you to any extent. He will do anything to back you up because of that one reason." That's it. And when he went, when she got the revelation and understood her assignment, she declared a fast. 3 days, 3 nights of all the provinces of King Ahasuerus, and said, "Gather all the Jews across the nations from Ethiopia to India." And he said, "Declare a fast for 3 days and 3 nights, and I will do likewise." And he said, "And I will go before the king, which is against the law." Because if the king hadn't summoned, say, in those days, the law is that the king can put you to death. If he hadn't summoned you, even though you are the wife, and you come before him, and you haven't been summoned to come, you can be put to death. And Esther said, "If I perish, let me perish. It don't matter anymore. I realize that my life is a sacrificial thing. I'm a sacrificial lamb. I'm raised for a time, for such a time like this, for the benefit of others. I don't own any will or anything of my own. I'm an instrument, a tool, a weapon in the hands of God to do with me as he pleases. And therefore, I don't have any life of my own." And when she came before the king stretched out his golden scepter to her and said to her, "Queen Esther, to the half of my kingdom, what is it that you want? You can have to the half of my kingdom. You can have it." And the queen was so wise and said, I don't want anything. I just want to show you something. I want you to come home. I have made some food and got some things, and I want to invite you to come, that I'll spread and lay a banqueting table before you. And the queen went twice and said to the half of my kingdom. She still won't say anything. Very wise woman. You know, sometimes, you know, the problem of our sisters, you are in haste. Sometimes you rush too much. Sometimes you are afraid, you are insecure. But you gotta learn. You have to learn from Queen Esther and watch how she leaned on the everlasting arms and allow the Spirit of God to guide her. And the Spirit said, no, don't ask him now. Tell him to come. He came to the half of my kingdom. I said, I don't have need of anything. Second time. And then another time he came, and God set the enemy up. God set the enemy up. And God said, and the Holy Ghost said, now, ask now. Tell him what's going on. That this Haman have set up your people to die. And when the king heard that there was a conspiracy against the people of Esther, he said, hey, you're not afraid, Haman. As a matter, get interpretation from somebody. But this was what happened. When the king heard and Esther had told the king everything, the king was angry. And wise men do that. Wise men don't act based on hearsay. The queen was angry. He was provoked. And he took a step. He said, let me take a walk to the garden. So he took a walk just to cool down and try and process. Somebody say, process what he had heard. When the king walked out, Queen Esther was lying in a sofa. The Bible didn't tell us the position, whether she was naked. The Bible didn't tell us. But this lady was good. Ooh, she was good. Now, she was lying there, and I didn't know what condition. The Bible didn't tell us, but she laid in the sofa, and Haman, the Agagite, the enemy of the Jews, knelt on his knees to plead for his life. Just when he was on his knees, the king stepped back into the palace. The Bible didn't tell us the condition he found Esther. There was a possibility that she just decided to release and to remove some things and to show some things. So when the king stepped in, he saw the queen lying there, possibly naked, and Haman on his knees close to a particular part of the body. And the Bible said it was the feast of wine. So the king have had enough of wine. And you know, those of you who were out there and you used to booze, when you've had enough wine, you see men like trees. So God used the wine. So when the king stepped in there, he was seeing men like trees. And he possibly saw Haman trying to move on a particular spot of the queen's body. And the king said, hey, in my presence, Haman. He said, to the executioners, carry him. So they covered his head immediately, and he was executed. The only reason why Esther had all the favor she had was because she was on assignment. So God will go to any extent to favor her because of his agenda. If you today will make a decision that, God, I want to be a weapon in your hands, I want to be a tool in your hands, I want you to use me as a vehicle to touch my generation, to impact my world, I want you to use me to fulfill your purpose and your agenda. Sister, brother, God will go to any length. He will go to any extent. He will kill who must be killed. He will move mountains. He will exalt valleys. He will make crooked paths straight. He will make a way where there is no way, to make sure that you have satisfaction and everything you need so that his purposes may be fulfilled. If you receive that, put your hands together. Give him praise. Say yes. Exodus 16, 12 to 15. Let me run through some few scriptures. Exodus 16, 12 to 15.
I have heard the murmurings of the children of
Underline
Israel.
Underline the word murmuring, you see. If you don't rehearse past victories and what God has done for you in the past, you will always have an attitude of murmuring. And murmuring is an attitude of ingratitude. Is also an attitude of dissatisfaction. There are people like that. They're never satisfied. Enough is never enough. They don't have an attitude of gratitude. They complain about everything. And there are folks like that in the church. And God don't like murmuring. They complain. They murmur. They were critical of the man of God, of the church, and of God. Anytime they face new challenges, they forget what God has done before. When David stood before Goliath, and he was challenged with this guy who was an uncircumcised Philistine, he rehearsed past victories and said, "He who delivered in my hands the lion and the bear at the backside of the desert the other day, he will deliver into my hands again this uncircumcised Philistine giant." The only thing that gives you and I the audacity, somebody say audacity. Use that word. Say it one more time. Say audacity. To withstand and stand in defiance of contradictions and new challenges is the attitude of rehearsing all the time the victories of the past God has done before, knowing that if he did it yesterday, he will do it again. Knowing that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, he's the same today, he's the same tomorrow, he's the same forever, and that your God and my God does not change. If you receive that, put your hands together. Tell somebody, it's dangerous to complain. It's dangerous to complain. Go ahead.
Speak unto them, saying, at even you shall eat flesh, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God. And it came to pass that at even the quails came up and covered the camp, and in the morning the dew lay round about the host. And when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness there lay a small round thing, as small as a hoar frost on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, "It is manna," for they wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, "This is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat."
They call it manna. On Wednesday, we'll go into that. They call it manna. Moses called it bread from the Lord. So we'll look at that on Wednesday. But here is it. Somebody turn to somebody and say, supernatural provision. One more time, say it again. Hear me. God has not left you and I without provision. There is provision in stock for us. It is supernatural. It doesn't matter the dispensation and time we live in. God has made provision for us. And may I please submit to you, ladies and gentlemen, that the times we live in demands for supernatural provision. Because all the economics of the world are failing. And all you hear is murmuring, complaining, people attacking and fighting their governments and leadership across the nations of the world. Everywhere they are fighting and attacking leaders, blaming leaders for everything, expecting leaders to fix every problem in their life. Leaders can do that. They can fix your problems. And the world is not going to get any better than it is right now. I'm telling you, the world is not going to get better than it is right now. And there is no prophet. There is no political power. And there is no political party or any government of this world who can fix the economic crisis of this world. God has allowed it to be so that men may know that the heavens do rule in the affairs of men. It's not going to get any better than it is right now. The United Nations cannot solve the problems and the crisis of this world. The North Korean issue cannot be solved by the United Nations. Sanctions won't solve it. Peace will never come to this world until this world acknowledges the fact that peace is not a commodity, that peace is not something, but that peace is someone, and his name is the Prince of Peace. And until we connect to him, we'll never know peace. Put your hands together, somebody. If you receive it, and give him some praise in the house. Exodus 15:23-25.
And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them.
You see, again the word murmuring came up again. Complaining. Anytime people face new challenges, they complain. They murmur again, complain. But watch this. I told you that it doesn't matter the dispensation you live in. God declares the end from the beginning. Somewhere in eternity, long before time began, God planned. And in the time of creation, when the waters of Marah was created, God told an angel, it was as if I was there seeing what was happening. And said, put a tree by the waters of Marah. A tree with the ability to heal and to turn the bitter waters of Marah into sweet. Put it there. Don't touch it. Because thousands of years after creation, one day my children will find themselves at this spot. And they will need water to drink. And they can't drink these bitter waters of Marah. They will need a solution to the situation. And the solution will not be in Egypt or anywhere, but right there at the waters of Marah. Put the tree there. When they complain and they cry, God said, Moses, there is a tree. I told an angel during the time of creation to plant it right by the waters of Marah. Go cut a branch of that tree. I have put in it therapeutic healing powers. Cut the tree, the branch, throw it into the water. When the branch was cast into the waters of Marah, the waters that were bitter became sweet. I declare, every bitter experience in your life is about to become sweet. I see sweetness coming. I can see some sweetness coming. Somebody is about to eat honey. I said, you are about to eat honey. It's coming. Sit down for 2 minutes. And it begins. You know, many people will travel. If you go to embassies tomorrow, any embassy, foreign embassies, you will see Ghanaians at every embassy looking for visas. We'll pay any amount of money for visas. We stand in the queue for hours. We are humiliated, despised. Not handled well, disrespected. They handle us anyway, anyhow. And I just pray that our leaders will begin to speak to these foreign embassies to treat our people better than they do us. But it also has to do with us. We look forward to traveling to any of these foreign countries for a greener pastures. But there are no greener pastures anywhere. No, it's not anywhere. Great America has poor people living and sleeping under bridges. In Singapore, in Hong Kong, in Malaysia, in Tokyo. In countries of the world, You see poor people everywhere. Jesus said, the poor you shall have with you always. The solution is not in going to America or Europe. The solution is your connection with God and recognizing God as your source. Because everything you need is right where you are. Jesus said, eyes have they, but they see not. That's your problem. You see, I know some of you are saying that things are difficult and times are hard. It's true. Times are hard, things are difficult. But it's not everybody that is feeling the challenges and the difficulties of the time. Some people are very comfortable. I drive around places and I see buildings rising up. And I said, wow. You have all these things happening here, and they said there's no money. Whatever you need is already there. Moses didn't see the solution to the bitter waters of Marah till God opened his eyes to see it. The provision is not far from where you are. But you know what the problem is? We've been programmed some way, somehow, through our upbringing, we've been programmed to depend on our salary. We've been programmed to depend on the economy of the country. We've been programmed to depend on human supply. We haven't been programmed to work the promises. That's why a lot of people struggle to tithe, corporate tithing, because we have more faith in the money than we have in what the word says. That's why a lot of people can't part with first fruit. They can't do it because they've been programmed to depend on salary. So to give up that first fruit is a problem. They haven't learned to exercise their faith to the point where they depend on God for everything. People struggle when it comes to offering time. They hold back and they don't give what is required and expected of them. They hold back everything. Some people don't even want God to know that they've been blessed. They don't want God to know how much is in their bank account, much more the pastor and papa. They don't want you to know that they are blessed. They are not proud to demonstrate the blessings of God in their life. So they hold back. They always act as if they don't have. And it's something to do with Ghanaians. Ghanaians have a mentality. They hide everything. There are people who have good cars, the Rolls Royces, and you can call it, you know, the Bentleys and the others. And they only use it on Sundays to go to church. They are afraid. Our society don't celebrate success. Anybody who is successful is a thief. It's a thief. It's an armed robber. It's a 419. We don't celebrate success. And a foreigner can come here and drive on the streets of Ghana or the motorway, a private jet, and we will clap for him because he's a foreigner. But if a Ghanaian drives a Rolls Royce on the motorway, first thing, who is he? Who is he? How did he get it? How? We don't celebrate success. We are anti-progress people. We are anti-success people. I'm telling you. And as long as we don't celebrate success, when people have it, they'll hide it. And the reason why our community is suffering is because we haven't learned the law of multiplication, that you only multiply when you team up and network with others. One shall put 1,000 to flight, two shall put 10,000 to flight. And one of the other reasons also is the fact that when you try to network with others, because we haven't celebrated success, and it's not in us to do so, we are very selfish people and greedy and covetous. So when you enter into partnership with people, instead of them to focus and work their side of the agreement and the covenant, they are looking at how they can take from you what is not theirs, covetousness. And they circumvent and subvert others. There's a national curse we have to address. And I'm praying that through some of these summits and programs, we'll be able to confront and repeal that national curse, to reprogram and rewire our way of thinking and seeing one another. Until we begin to celebrate success like the Nigerians, we will never have success like they have. We talk about the wealth of Nigeria. You go to Abuja Airport or go to Lagos Airport, there are more private jets than passenger planes. And it belongs to individuals. And nobody has a problem with it. I don't know how many private jets we have in Accra here. I've seen few. I've used some every now and then. friends of mine come to see me with private jet. They put it here, and I go and meet them. At a conference, three people who are coming with their own private jet. It's accepted. But God help Archbishop Duncan Williams to land a private jet at Kotoka. Hey! Assemble by Debi. But let any other preacher, even from Togo here, come with a private jet. It's acceptable. But a Ghanaian preacher must not have a private jet. There are people I have trained and brought up, they have private jets. Just in Nigeria here, I brought them up in the things of God. And it's acceptable. Mine is not acceptable. You know what the problem is? It's a national curse. And until we break the national curse, it will always limit and restrict Ghanaians to how far they can go. The reason why America is progressive, because the society is a very progressive society. I live in a very wealthy area, and my house don't mean anything, because there are other houses better than mine. So people pass by, they see my house, fine. Then next, they see something, and whoa. They see another one, hey, see another one, great, wow. If I move my house to certain areas of Accra, I'm in trouble. We need to repeal the national curse over this country. Until the national curse is repealed and we begin to celebrate the success of one another, we are not going anywhere. I don't ask you to clap. I did not ask you to clap. So whether you clap or not, I believe in what I'm saying. I've watched it very, very carefully. And it's not just in Ghana. Ghanaians are like that everywhere they are. Everywhere. I've traveled the nations of the world. Everywhere you see Ghanaians, for whatever reason, we hate, we have self-hatred. We don't accept the success of one another. When they see one in the community outside Ghana doing well than the others, they will find ways to dig you out. We have a witch hunting spirit. We'll dig you out. We are like crabs. You put crabs in a basket, nobody goes out. Anyone that lifts up his head, the others, hey, where do you think you're going? Oh, calm down. You belong here. But I rebel against crab mentality. I'm breaking out, I'm breaking through. Somebody say, I'm breaking out and breaking through in the name of Jesus. I refuse to be a crab. I am not a crab. I am a giant. Are you hearing me, somebody? I am a giant, and I declare today, you are a giant in anything you do in life. You are not a crab, you are a giant. Sit down for 2 minutes. You're a giant. Deuteronomy chapter 29 and the 5th verse. Deuteronomy 29 and the 5th verse. Quickly,
please. And I've led you for 40 years in the wilderness. Uh-huh. Your clothes are not waxing old upon you.
You didn't buy 40 years. You didn't buy a new suit or a new shirt. As you grew, your shirt, your pants, everything grew and extended on you, expanded. Your shoes, your size changed, but it was the same shoes. And as time went on, the size of the shoe was changing. And it was still brand new. And you didn't have to go to Harrods. You didn't have to go to Walmart or ShopRite to buy a shirt or a jacket or a shoe, anything. As the years went, 40 years, you never shopped. You didn't buy, you didn't sell, and you were okay. And your dresses were still brand new. 40 years! In the wilderness of Sinai, somebody say supernatural provision. Come on, say it one more time. The more you say it, the more it will happen for you. Go ahead.
And thy shoe is not waxing old upon thy foot.
Mm-hmm. Look at me. Tell somebody there is provision for you. There's provision for you. Yeah. I'll take my time and break it down, and you will see that there is provision for you. Genesis 22, 13 and 14. Genesis 22, 13 and 14. There is provision for you.
And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horn.
Tell somebody, your supernatural provision is tied up for you. It's tied up. Tell somebody, it's tied up. You know, many years ago, I looked for a land in all Accra, and there was nothing. Then I was invited by the then Alhaji Abbas Cuba of blessed memory. God bless him and his family. And they gave me 5 acres at Fadama and gave Dr. Otabil also land there. Both of us at the same place at Fadama. Then the Lord said to me, you will not take the church to Fadama. Don't take it there. And I said, then where do I take it to? He said, there is a place for you, but he won't show me. And I was frustrated. So after a while, I took the land title. I took it to Lands Commission and gave it to Abbas Cuba. He was then the secretary. Abigail, what was he at that time? Executive secretary. Abigail used to work there. She worked there for 30 years, so she knows this story. I took the documents to them and I told Dr. Otabli, I said, I've given my land to them, so you can apply for them to add it if you like it. Still, I didn't have a place. I went into a fast and I was praying. After a few days of the fast, Alhaji Abbas Cuba called me and he said, Osofo, assalamu alaikum. And I said, Ami alaikum salam. And he said, can we meet at my office? And I said, yes. So I drove to his office. And there was nothing all over this place here from ShopRite going, except the Bank of Ghana warehouse and Springtex. And he drove me down here and he said, I've been looking at the lands and documents. And I know you said you don't want Fadama and we have to get you a place. So he said, I find this place to be available in the documents. Nobody owns it. Do you like it? And I said, yes. And he said, let me talk to President Rawlings. So he called me and he said, you can have it. Hear me. We have passed by this road several times, going down past Spintex to look at a warehouse to lease. And they won't give it to us. Several times we passed by this road. And one time my father had a dream. And he said to me, your church will be after the 31. As he ran about, and I said, how do you know? You are not born again every time you are dreaming. And he said, I was passing by that area and the road was tired. And I saw a big church. And I saw clinics, university, banks. And I said, Papa, your dreams are wild. I couldn't see what he saw. And he said, I asked them, who is this for? And somebody led me and took me through a lift to the second floor. And then he said, you came out. And I said, Nicholas. And he said, write it down. It will happen. And I said, but you are not born again. And you are having all these dreams. Everything he saw is happening. It's all coming together. Hear me. This is a divine provision that was tied up long before I discovered it. Anything you need for the glory of God, for the work of God, is already tied up. If you are struggling, it's only because there is a possibility that your life, your desires, your needs and your wants are not in alignment with His. If you bring your needs, your wants in alignment with His, I guarantee you the days of struggle will come to an end. You will come into His rest. You know, people ask me, during the conference, I'll show you some things. I'll dedicate some things so you see. I'm not telling you right now. And people come and, Papa, how are you doing all of this at the same time? Same time. You're doing all of this at the same time. I said, it's long overdue. And this is the right time to do. He said, but the economy, there's no money. And I said, no, it's not true. There's money. There's no money. I don't do anything with money. The Bible says, by wisdom a house is built. I don't do things with money. I do things by inspiration. When the inspiration comes and I feel the inspiration, I move. Because an inspiration is like a wing. It's like a window. A window of opportunity at a particular strategic time. And when that window is open, I move in. And the rest is in God's hands. If it's his, then he has to provide. If it's not his, then I let it go. Now, I continue on Wednesday. But hear me. Did you read Genesis 22? Genesis 22.
And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen.
Now you know the story. How God came to Abraham, Genesis 22, 1, and said, Abraham, take thy son, thy only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest. God speaks specifics. And he says what he means, and he means what he says. Then he said, you know, he had Ishmael and Isaac. And most times, if he had just said, sacrifice your son, he would have taken one. He would have taken Ishmael. But God was very specific. God was very specific here and said, give me the best, because God so loved that he gave us the best. And in my life, whatever I give and I do for God, I want him to have the best. Because without God and mercy, I won't be where I am. I am a product of mercy. That's who I am. I have no ego at all. I'm stripped of ego. So when I see people with intellectual ego, I pity them, because it has limitations. It's just a matter of time. You hit a wall and you realize that you need something supernatural and something above what you have. And so Abraham got to the Mount of Moriah with three of the young men born in his house. And he said to them, the next level experience, you can't take it. You can't handle it. You haven't developed capacity for that. So stay here. The son Isaac said, Dad, everything for the sacrifice is ready. Where is the lamb? And he didn't know that he was the lamb. His father had already offered him as a sacrificial lamb in his heart, in his mind. Whenever you make a vow, spoken vows, inward vow, that God, if this happened and if this happened, I will do this for you, I will do that for you. When it happens and you hold back, you are in trouble. Whatever you said was God's, when it happened, you must honor that commitment. When you honor that commitment, God will honor you. If you don't honor it, it's an indication that you were playing with God and you can't play with God. It brings a curse. So whenever you say, I will do this, I will do that, make sure you keep to your word. You know, a man did something for this church many years ago. I won't say what he did when we moved here. He did something huge at that time. And he was big. Right now he's struggling, and I know the reason why he's struggling. You know, sometimes people struggle with corporate tithing, and that is where they don't end up well. They will pay corporate personal tithe, but they don't want to give the corporate. And if you are the seed of Abraham, you must not struggle to pay corporate tithe, because your father Abraham paid corporate tithe. Anyway, I was in Europe the last time, and somebody called me and said, do you know so so and so? And I said, yes, he's in my church. And he said that his company has applied for a loan, and the interest is 3-4%. And he said that, I want to know if you can guarantee him, then I'll do it. And at that moment, a lot of thoughts came through my mind. And you know what I said to myself? I said, how we kill people or make people. And at that moment, I said to the guy, I can guarantee it. Go ahead and do it for him. He doesn't know. It's been done. He doesn't know that I was used. But I just remembered what he did for God at that time. And you know what? I'm not unforgiving, but I'm telling you, to be honest with you, this is me. Not my spiritual me, but my physical me. I don't know if I would have said, do it, if he hadn't helped the church. I'm telling you. I don't want to pretend that I would have said do it. I'm just telling you, as me, human being, put aside God, the word, the Holy Spirit. Left to me alone, I would have said no. I know you would have said yes. But for me, I would have said no. And I was glad that I said do it. I was glad I did. And I tell you why I was glad. I just sat there and I said, God, you are so real that the things we do for you today, you can never go wrong when you help the church and you help God. Like the centurion who built the synagogue. You never go wrong. A day will come and something you've done for God today will speak for you and your children even when you are dead and gone. Serve God well. Did you hear me? And to conclude and continue on Wednesday, the Bible said that Abraham tied him up. Now, this young man was between 17 to 18 years old, Isaac, at this time. So he could afford the old man. He could have used some tank bando and said, and hit the old man to fall. He didn't do that. He yielded. And the old man tied him up. He had already sacrificed him in his heart. Laid him on the altar. And the voice of God came from the corridors of eternity into time and echoed and said, Abraham, Abraham, touch not the lad. Now I know. What does that mean? You've proven to me that I can trust you. I swear by myself as an oath that in blessing I will bless you and in multiplying I will multiply you. Then God said, Abraham, look up. He lifted up his head. There was provision, ram. The ram was there before Abraham got there, but he didn't see the ram until he had fulfilled all righteousness. Hear me? There are breakthroughs and provisions you will never see until you fulfill all righteousness. When all righteousness is fulfilled, God will blow your mind and give you things you don't have to struggle for. Hear me? In conclusion, watch this. In conclusion, watch this. When he saw the ram was tied by the horn. And these rams and the bush rams, their horn is where their strength is. And they fight with their horn. But when Abraham saw the ram, he was an old man. His strength was not like when he was young anymore. And the horn of the ram was tied up, which stands to reason that God had taken out the fight in the provision. When you fulfill all righteousness and the man come, the woman come, the blessing come, the breakthrough come, there will be no complications. I said there will be no complications. You see, the Bible said the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich and he adds no sorrow to it. The sorrow is the complication. The sorrow is the fight. The sorrow is the up and down. The sorrow is the struggles. The sorrow is the disappointment. But that, the thing that eradicates the sorrow and the complications, that when the blessing comes, there's no fight over it, is when you fulfilled all righteousness. When you go the extra mile, you go all out with God without reservation, holding back nothing and saying, God, I'm yours. And everything I am is yours. And I'll not hold back anything from you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you receive that, put your hands together and stand on your feet. Lift up your right hand. Say, Heavenly Father, I submit myself, spirit, soul, and body, to your lordship, to your purpose for my life. I know I've been predestined to fulfill your purpose, your will, and not mine. Bring me now into divine alignment with your original intent that I may become everything that you purpose me to become in my lifetime. I don't want to miss it. I don't want to struggle. I don't want to hustle. I want to enter into your rest. I want to experience supernatural provision as it has been declared prophetically by the mouth of your servant. Let it be done unto me, Lord, in the name of your son Jesus. I will not seek my will or my own way anymore, but yours. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.